Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 11th edition of the Forest Hill Podcast. I'm Graham Hill. Alongside me,
Junior Smith III.
And Junior, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody who our proud sponsor of this podcast is.
Without question, our sponsor is UNC Lenoir Healthcare. They're a nonprofit organization located right here in Kinston, North Carolina, and licensed for 261 beds, serving the residents of Lenoir, Greene, and Jones counties. The hospital is staffed with over 100 physicians, and they offer inpatient, outpatient, and preventative healthcare services. In addition, the hospital offers free educational health programs, seminars, and screenings.
We also want to thank Chris Humphrey Allstate for being the official sponsor of the News Student Section of the Year Award, which will be delivered here very soon. So you want to get very excited about that if you're a student section in the running for that. But ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for joining us on episode 11 of the Forest Hill Podcast. We have two special guests with us today. First, I'll introduce the guest to my right. He played basketball at Kinston High from 2008 to 2012, then went on to play at University of Mount Olive from 2012 to 2015, and he was also the all-time leading assist for the Trojans, and he is now the head coach of the Parrot Academy boys basketball team. He's been out there since 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dory Hines.
Thank you for having me up here.
And then over here to the left, we have another Hines brother. He played basketball at Kent Snyder from 2004 to 2007, a couple years earlier than Dory. Then played at Lenoir Community College for 1 year and then transferred to play at Shaw University in 2011 and continued to play there and graduate from there in 2014. And then he went on to be a part of the NBA G League free agency pool with the Raptors 905 in 2015 and is now the proud owner of Hines Workout since 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Curtis Hines.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We want to thank you two guys for being on the show with us. The Hines Brothers is a special edition of the Forest Hill Podcast. Real quick, you guys have been, basketball has been a huge part of you guys' life growing up. What was it like playing basketball on one another? And of course, you guys led to Kinston's legacy. Of course, you were not a part of a state championship team at the time that you played at Kinston, but you still added to the rich history out there. Of course, you played at Kinston High, was a part of the state championship team with Reggie Bullock. So how much has basketball been a success or a key factor in you guys' life and the success that you guys have gotten from it?
Basketball has been a big part of my life. It got me started, helped keep me straight in school, and also got me an education at the college level, and that's leading me to being an adult and being a head basketball coach at Parrot Academy.
Basketball, has, likewise with me, has showed me a lot of different things. I've met different people, a lot of great lifelong friends. Been places that I never thought I could imagine going to, and it has taught me a little bit of maturity on meeting different personalities with kids as far as my training go. But without basketball, I don't know what I'd be doing.
And I mean, you kind of talk about the training and everything, just working with the kids, and both of you are heavily involved as far as the Kinston community, just kind of helping these kids out. I mean, just what are some of the things that you guys try to do as far as, you know, mindsets and helping these kids out?
My main thing is just teaching kids that as teammates, they're friends. So they're teammates and friends at the same time. So being a great teammate is being a great friend. You know, this basketball is going to teach you stuff bigger than life. You know, mm-hmm. It's not always about basketball. Yeah, winning's good, losing's, and people don't like to lose, but at the end of the day, basketball can teach you so much about life that's so irreplaceable that you can't get in doing other things. I think kids that play sports, it helps them in the long run when it's time for them to be an adult.
Of course, this past season out at Parrot Academy wasn't the best season that you guys have had in a while, but I mean, with the guys you had last year, of course, like AJ Banker, Chris Wooten, the list can go on. You know, it was a rebuilding year for you guys. But Genius and I can both agree, you know, in the times that we went out to see Parrot play, and even when we heard about it, sounds like you guys never gave up in any of the games. They didn't throw in the towels. They kept competing. You guys just played in a really great conference and against a lot of great teams. But just kind of reflect on the season you guys had this past year.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was different without AJ and Chris. You know, Chris was a 3-year starter and AJ was a 4-year starter. You know, we lost two guys that had a leadership role, two guys that averaged 20 points, two guys that averaged over 6 rebounds, two guys that led us in assists. You know, it was very different. But, you know, the guys this year, they came. We played hard every night. We didn't get the result we wanted in the end most of the time. But bottom line is, as a coach, all I could ask for them to do was play hard, and they did that 99% of the time.
And he got a pretty strong core coming back next year. I mean, of course, Nick Harrison is coming back. I believe Caleb Jones, Jaquan Mosley. So, I mean, just kind of talk about some of that core that you're going to have.
Caleb's coming back. I think Caleb's going to be key to our success next year. At the end of the season, he started playing the way he could. And, you know, we was a lot better team when he played good. You know, Nick's coming back. He got a lot of attention this year with AJ and Chris leaving because he was our third leading scorer with them. You know, he averaged 16 this year. But he got a lot of things he can improve on, and he's been working really hard and getting better. And, you know, Jaquan, you know, he got ineligible. But if we can get his grades right, I think he could be a big part of our success next year.
And, of course, last night I saw y'all had y'all's winter sports banquet, and a lot of you guys – or a lot of your guys had a lot of reward to them, both, you know, conference overall. But the one reward that stuck out to me was sophomore Nick Harrison, as you mentioned. I believe he was rewarded most valuable player of the team.
Yes, he was, and he made first-team all-conference. You know, for a guy that tall and a sophomore, he drew a lot of boxing ones this year, and I just think he battled, and, you know, he continued to work, continued to get better. He put time in when nobody was looking, and if he can continue to get better, we got a chance to be pretty good.
Now, Curtis, of course, you've definitely worked with a lot of the kids, like not just with Perry, but, I mean, just all across the place. I mean, I see you heavily involved with guys like Dontrez Styles, and just kind of what have you seen as far as the development of a lot of these kids that are really doing big things now?
I see a lot. When I first come in, my kids, when I first train a kid, it's always evaluation day. That gives me a chance to see what you can and can't do. And with the growth of them, like, is able, like, with their growth, I know that what I'm doing is working, because I don't post a lot of videos of working kids out or what I do. I mean, I do put it on social media, but me being able to see their growth is giving me more confidence in building and wanting to do this, because parents, I have so many testimonies from parents that I get text messages every day, day in and day out, and it just shows me that my hard work that I put into this is really paying off, not only towards these kids, but for their parents. And they're also seeing it transform over from my workout into game situations. And I love doing it there.
And I was just about to ask you, being a basketball trainer, especially in this area with basketball being as big as it is, you know, when you see your kids that you train be successful when they go to play in high school and sometimes even after high school at the college level, how does that make you feel knowing that you've done a great job with what you're doing as a living?
Right. It makes me feel real good. But like I always say, I never take credit for a kid's success, because I'm the one just pointing fingers and just talking, speaking. But they're the ones that got to go out there and run the lines and be willing to show up in the morning and get the shots up and do what I say. But I appreciate them for acknowledging me and what I do. And I take it very serious. I'm very passionate about it. And I always tell these kids basketball is going to stop. So when I first meet a kid, I always do evaluation day, but always tell them to make goals. Try to go all the way to Z, from A to Z. Make a goal just in case basketball doesn't work for you. What's your backup plan? Because my motto is basketball stops for everybody someday. And I feel like basketball can be taken from us. But if you go to school, get your education, your degree, further let alone, that can never be taken from you. That always will go to the grave with you.
Now, I got to say this, because, you know, you definitely started out there at Mount Olive. You had some great moments at Shaw. Which one of y'all has the better game?
Where? When we played against each other?
Yeah.
It was a good game. I mean, we won, of course, which we knew we was going to win. I mean, we won. But I think he kind of got hurt. Then he came back. But it was a good game overall. He did what he do, what he brings to the table. Because our games are very different. Very, very different. You can never compare me and his game. He's a playmaker for his team. He gets other guys involved. Prime example, Reggie Bullock, Mr. Height, Marquez Jones, because I believe those two state championships, without him, I think they'd have a chance, but it wouldn't be really possible, you know, because you got to have that engine guy, that point guard, that guy that's going to get up in everybody's face, that ain't scared to tell you when you're wrong, but it awards you when you're right, you know. And I feel like he was a main success to their, well, a big part of success to their championship runs, because you can't teach leadership. You can't teach a guy how to be a leader. And that was just instilled in him. So, yeah, and me, I bring scoring to the table. A lot of people say I didn't play defense, but I knew I could play defense when I wanted to. But I won't really study defense. I'm going to be honest on this podcast. But my offensive game, I always was an offensive guy. I was a defensive liability. But I believe during my lateral years, as I got older, it started to pick up a little bit.
How competitive are you all playing basketball against each other growing up?
Very competitive. Oh, yeah. To this day, we're still very competitive when we play against each other.
Definitely, yeah. We'd be about ready to go at it in there. Because some of these kids, man, we got to show them, like, yeah, you could be friends off the court, but you don't have friends on the court. And we try to instill that in their off season when we get the kids together to play. Like, you'll see us laughing and joking off the court. When we get on, they'd be like, wow, they're really going at each other. They really fouling, pushing up against each other. Like, because me and him, we don't play buddy ball.
Yeah, because I've seen you at the Kansas Community Center a few times. Like, I know some of the kids would get a little rowdy and say, you know, you ain't got it. And then next thing I know, I see you lighting them up.
Oh, yeah. They'll bring you out your element sometimes. Them kids, I mean, I try to sit back and let them do them. But a lot of them, they want you to challenge them, and then they want to play you one-on-one. And I ain't going to let them win. They already know that. Because if you let them win one, you would never hear the end of it. You would never hear the end of it. Like, for prime example, Dontrez Styles. We done played about 20, 25 times. I think he beat me once. And I think he stepped out of bounds on that shot, too.
So, Dontrez, if you're
watching. I was about to say, we're going to have to get the rematch here as a part of this podcast. But while we have you guys on here, we want to get you guys' opinion of course, the games we were at last week, the LCC Game of the Week, which we had a doubleheader again. We were at the Eastern Carolina Conference Tournament Championship game. We saw the Varsity Girls game and the Varsity Boys game in Junior Spurs. I'll let you talk about what we saw in the Varsity Girls game between Washington and Kinston High.
Well, when we had Coach Bradshaw on here last week during the Flourish Hill podcast, he said that Washington was playing some of the best ball in the Eastern Carolina Conference, which was basically a gauntlet. I mean, you had teams like Wes Craven, Aiden Grifton, and of course, North and North, South and North had some great seasons. And then Washington came in, nearly pulled the upset, second year in a row that they got close to Kinston, but in the end, the Vikings were able to pull it out.
I was about to say, Coach Bradshaw did not lie when he said Washington was playing the best basketball in the conference right now. I mean, they went out there and, you know, they made Kinston's girls team, you know, just. And after Coach Bradshaw, you know, talked about how great of a practice they had the day before, once you got into that game set, and Washington just looked like they were in full control of that whole game, but they allowed the Kinston girls team to come back, and when you allow a team that good to do something like that, it's not going to end up well in the end. And then, of course, the boys' game, which is something that I definitely want to get you guys' opinion on. Kinston High defeated Green Central by a final score of 60-25. Yes, you did hear that correctly, 60-25. First of all, I want to get you guys' opinion on that game.
Going into the game, I haven't seen Green Central play all year. I seen Kinston play early in the week against South Lenoir. I didn't think they played really well. And when I went Friday, that was the last thing I expected. And I think their point guard, Isaac Parsons, did a really, really good job of getting everybody involved and then coming around and getting his. I think he had like one turnover and a lot of assists, you know. I think the key to their success was Isaac getting everybody else involved and then not worried about himself, you know. Brian Hanks tweeted something early in the week about Isaac being, you know, a Josh Dawson, Dory Hines type point guard, and I will 100% agree with him. And, you know, Isaac is going to be very special to their playoff run. Mm-hmm. He got Chance going. He got and he really got Dontrez Styles going in the right direction that night.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yep. I can say the same thing as far as the postseason. Like the girls and boys, I told both teams, like, postseason it's all even. Like the numbers, one seed and the 20 seed, it don't matter. Postseason is who comes to play that night. Like the record doesn't matter, numbers doesn't matter. So it's just who's coming in to play that for that one night. You got this postseason, you got to take one game at a time. And then piggybacking on the Green Central Kinston game, I think Kinston just came out with a lot of energy. Like Doris said, Isaac being that facilitator, very underrated point guard in my eyes. I think he's a Division I player, honestly, with his mindset and his knowledge for the game and being able to get other guys open shots and making the game easier for a lot of kids is big. And it's easier said than done. That's a hard job, trying to get people shots and create stuff for other people. Like, you're taking away from your game to sacrifice for somebody else. Like, a lot of kids don't have that right now. But for him to be able to do that I was able to see it firsthand this summer. I coached him with Stackhouse Elite. He's always been that pass first point guard. If you're open, he's going to get you the ball. And if you're not working, I mean, he's doing his job. He's going to go get his when it's time, when it's really needed. But his first thing is, in his mind, he's a pass first point guard. And I really think he's a Division I prospect in my eyes.
Yeah, I can agree with you. And that really carried over in the first round game against Oxford Webb. I believe he had 7 assists in that game, maybe 1 or 2 turnovers at the most. Mm-hmm. And the passing was definitely contagious as Kinston kind of rolled away from that with that one in the first round. You were at that game as well, right?
Yes, sir, I was at that game, and it was a good game. They started out, a little bit slow, but as it got going, they picked it up and did what they had to do. And I see guys coming around. They got Will London back, which is going to be a big part of their success, because he's just all hustle. I mean, a guy that hustles like that can play on any team, because you can't teach effort. It ain't no way you can teach effort. When a guy has effort, I mean, that's a good part of their success. And then piggybacking on these past few games, Judah McBonham has stepped up big for them also. Definitely. Chance. And they're coming around at the right time of the season. This is the right time of the season, because at any time, like, if you don't come out to play that night, it ain't no more practice next day and look at film. It's you done. So you got to come ready to play. Yeah, and the way I feel like these guys can have great games is the day before practice. Practicing and then carrying it over to the game. You have a great practice, it's going to carry over to the game. You have a sloppy practice, it's going to carry over right into the game. So my thing is for them, girls and boys, just focus, lock in on your practices and take it one game at a time. And you'll be where you want to be at the end of the season.
Yeah, the last thing, I mean, just hit on the Kinston High Green Central game from this past Friday in the conference championship game. It's crazy how similar, you know, that game was to the Carolina Duke game. And I kind of said to myself, you know, even though, you know, these two teams, you know, match up pretty well, you know, in the conference, if one team, you know, gets on a very hot streak, it's going to be very hard for the other team to come back. And, you know, that's what has impressed me so much with Kinston this year. I mean, Kinston really has kind of been like the Carolina team of the Eastern Carolina Conference, just because, you know, Kinston kind of had a shaky start with the beginning of their season. A lot of people were questioning, was this going to be the same Kinston High team that we've seen in the past with the success that's well known out there? But just like UNC does, when Kinston High gets on a streak and you let Dontrez Styles and Isaac Parson, and as you mentioned, contributing players like Chance Benaud, Will London, if you let them get going and you let them build up too much of a lead, it's pretty much impossible for the other team to come back. And that's just kind of what happened with Green Central. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, as far as Green Central, I mean, they're still in a good spot, oh, yeah, you know, in the playoffs. But, you know, they just got to figure out a better way to control high-paced offense teams that will break out on runs and really good three-point shooting teams. But it'll be interesting to see what these next couple of playoff games will look like for both of these teams. But let's go ahead and reflect on some of the playoff games that we saw last night. First, the girls' game. The number 3 seed Kinston High Lady Vikings took on the number 30 North Johnson Panthers and defeated them by a final score of 64-33. Genius, you were at that game. Tell us what you saw.
I saw a lot of great passing. Again, Mikayla Dove, Sharice Jones are some of the best point guards in the state, I can safely say. And Talia Jones, she was able to get going offensively. She had 14, I believe, on Mikayla had 14. Overall, 11 players score for Kinston. I mean, they can just attack you in waves. They've got a lot of depth, and anybody can get out there on the court and have at least 15 on any given night.
Yeah, I think Coach Bradshaw and his staff does a good job with them girls. They just so many of them, you know. Any given night, you know, you can't just focus on one of them, because any given night, any one of the guards can go off. They got the big down there. You know, they got the number 30 girl that can shoot it really well. You know, everybody focus on her when he's shooting it. So, you know, they run a lot of sets, bring her off screens and stuff, and, you know, everybody popping out with her in the big wide open. I think, you know, I just think they do a good job. It's just when you got 9 or 10 girls that you can play, if one ain't playing well, it's the next girl up. And, I think he does a really good job with that.
Yeah, definitely does. I can say the same thing. They're deep. They're really deep. They ain't a six lady rotation. They're 10, 11, maybe even 12 deep that they can do. And that brings a lot of elements to the game, because you can't focus on one girl. Like, they got so much firepower to hit at you. And I believe they'll go real far in this playoffs. They control their own destiny. if they come out and play like they know, like we know they can, everything else would be fine.
And of course, North Lenoir made history last night. The girls' team did in their playoff game. The number 13th seed Lady Hawks defeated the number 20th seed Richlands by a final score of 54-41. And Junius, tell everybody why that game was so historic.
It's the first time in a very, very long time that they've had a home playoff game. I think the records for Max Preps went up to about 2006, 2007. So I can't remember. I can't remember the last time they've had a season this good. I believe they won 14 games already, and they basically took it to Richlands. Scott Cole was at that game. Ashanti Lynch had 21 points. Having Integrity McPhail and Kenaja Taylor back really, really helped. I believe Integrity had 11. Amenia Lynch had 10. So just having those elements right there is really going to help this team, particularly when they go into a very tough next round. You can kind of talk about the next game.
Well, before I talk about that, I mean, me and you have kind of talked about this, and I kind of want to bring this up. The fact that North Lenoir hosted a playoff game last night, the girls' team did, and there wasn't much showing of the student body there at the game is kind of disappointing, especially for me as an alumni. You know, when you have your girls' team, you know, hosting a playoff game, getting ready to make history for the first time in a long time, and they're looking in the Hawk Crazy student section, they don't see one student there. I mean, you gotta make them think how that makes them feel as a team. So, you know, I'm hoping that if the girls are able to get seated to have another home game at North Lenoir, that they'll have a better showing of the student body out there at one of those games. But what's going to make the next game so important is that they're taking on the number 4th seed North Carolina Science School of Math, the Unicorns, as their nickname. And Junius, that's going to be a very, very tough matchup for the Hawks. I mean, Science of School of Math is coming off an impressive win. They took on the 29th seed South Lenoir Lady Blue Devils last night, defeated them by a final score of 56-32. What's going to be the key things for North Lenoir to do in this game coming up against a really good opponent?
Now, the thing about that school, the Unicorns, I was kind of talking about it a little earlier. They've had 10 games where they've only allowed 20 points or fewer, which is absolutely ridiculous. Now, from what I was told, they run a lot of press. So, basically, you have to have your ball handlers able to break that press, and then your secondary player, your role players are going to have to make shots.
And what'd you say their record was again?
They're 30-0.
30-0. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But I believe the Hawks can do it. I mean, like I said, that number, it doesn't mean nothing in this part of the season right here.
Survive in advance.
That's what it's all about. One game at a time. Like I said, is whoever comes out and play, whoever comes out and play for 32 minutes.
And then, of course, our other girls' game, we have the Lady Vikings taking on. I forgot to write it down on the script here, but remind me again of who they're playing.
Yes. As far as the second round goes, Kinston will be playing number 14 Roanoke Rapids.
And I had a little bit of time today to see Roanoke Rapids on film. They got two pretty solid girls that can go that they rely on heavily. And outside of that, I didn't see much other than those two girls. But don't let film fool you. I mean, you may have some girl may come out ready to play that wasn't on the film, but they have two main girls that can really go. And I feel like if Kinston can contain those two, especially number one. I think she's the head of the snake.
I believe her name's Anna Bell.
Anna Bell, yeah. She does a lot of the controlling the tempo. She's the point guard. She's all over the court, very fast, aggressive. She even does the jump ball. She's the point guard. So they kind of tell you what she does. And I just feel like with Kinston's depth and what they're going to throw at her, it's going to be real tough for her.
Yeah, because Kinston, they can throw multiple defenders on her. Leslie Sutton is probably arguably the best perimeter defender in the conference. Then you have Sharice Jones, who isn't far behind. Mikayla Duff can spell her. Kalia Hargett can spell her. So, yeah. I mean,
Kiara Powell, and then you have Alina River. So, and that's five different girls you throw at her. So imagine being one girl, and then you see five different people coming at you at any given time. Like, you got to really bust a lot of energy. That's five different bodies being thrown at you.
And, of course, you're very close with Coach Bradshaw. How much do you think he's going to have his team ready for that big game tomorrow night?
Just knowing Coach Bradshaw, he's a very passionate person, and you know he loves coaching them girls. And I just think he gonna have them girls ready the rest of the year. You know, he gonna have them in the right position, and it's just up to them to come out and execute the game plan and play the right way like they've been doing all year long.
Let's go ahead and talk about some of the other games that were played last night for the boys. We're going to hit on these real quick. Of course, Number 15, South Granville defeated number 18, West Craven by a final score of 80-69. And then number 7, South Columbus defeated number 26, Aiden Gripton, a final score of 67-57. Number 11, Cummins High School defeated number 22, North Lenoir. We're going to talk about that game real quick because what was so special or what was so big about that game?
Well, let me go ahead and talk about the first two games. West Craven was actually up big on South Granville, but the Vikings were able to come back. And then South Columbus, they were able to get Aiden Gripton from the start. As far as North Lenoir, they had a 12-point fourth-quarter lead against Burlington Cummings, and they lost that and fell 79-74.
And then, of course, you had the number 9 seed, Kenton High, taking on J.F. Webb, who I also was not able to get the seed and ranking for them.
They were number 24 coming from Oxford, and they lost 63-35.
And then number 2, Green Central, taking on
number 31, Wilson Bedingfield.
Mm-hmm. Defeating them by a final score of 60-94. So very impressive showing from both Kenton High and Green Central, and they are definitely going to have some big matchups coming their way, not just in the second round, but if they're able to advance after the second round, they'll have some big matchups coming in the third round. But we're not going to get into that just yet. Instead, we're going to get into the predictions for the games tomorrow night. First, we're going to talk about the girls' game, number 14, Roanoke Rapids versus number 3, Kenton High. Dory, I'll start with you.
I think Coach Bradshaw is going to have his girls come out, and they're going to get a plus 20 win.
Kenton likes to thrive in the playoffs if you're a girls and if you're on the girls and the boys team. And like you said, Coach Bradshaw will definitely have his team motivated. They know what's at stake. I'm going to go with the Lady Vikings in this one.
Kenton easily. I mean, if you only have two girls that can really do something against the Vikings, you're not going to do too well.
Right. Kenton will be well prepared and ready. I'm going to take Kenton High.
And then we have the number 13 seed, the North Lenoir Lady Hawks, taking on the number 4 seed, North Carolina Science of School and Math. Dorian, once again, I'll start with you.
I'm going to go with North Lenoir with the upset. I think the Lynch girl, the freshman, she's going to come out and play pretty well and lead the team as a freshman to a victory.
I think since the boys' team has gotten eliminated, I think the girls really know that with all the pride that the fans have in the basketball program out there that's on them, and, you know, I think that hashtag that you came up with them, Respect the Flight, is going to be in full session tomorrow night. I'm going to go with the Lady Hawks with the upset.
Okay, I'm going to be the black sheep, and I'm just going to go with the unicorns. And the reason why I say that, this is a team that hasn't allowed more than 33 points since January 21st. It's going to be a tall task. I really hope that North Lenoir is going to be able to do it. My heart is falling for them, but my head is saying go for the School of Science and Math.
Right. I think both of the Lynch girls and Coach Willie over there, I think they'll bring back the upset. I think the Lynch girls will be ready to go. And like Dory said, Ashanti, the freshman, they should be ready.
Well, I'll be at that game tomorrow, so I'll be able to give a first-hand look.
All right.
And then we'll talk about the boys' game first. We're going to talk about number 25, Southwest Edgecombe, taking on number 9, Kenton High.
Biggest thing is, man, Kenton got another home game. And, you know, they come into the Zoo, and just a tough place to win. I think Coach Tindall going to have the boys ready, and 25-point win.
I mean, home court advantage is definitely important in playoff games. And, you know, coming into the Zoo, that's going to be a very tough environment for that Southwest Edgecombe team. And with the success that Kenton High has been having, you know, like I said, I like to compare them to North Carolina. And North Carolina has continued their hot streak. So I got the Vikings in this game tomorrow.
Kenton easily.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kenton High, of course.
And then we have the number 15th seed, South Granville, taking on the number 2 seed, Green Central.
I think Coach Blue going to have the Rams ready, and the Maji Dye going to come out and play really good. So Rams plus 15.
We were kind of talking about this earlier. This is kind of going to be the first opponent that Green Central is going to probably equally match up well against this South Granville team. I mean, they're very competitive. They're a very good team. They're going to be giving Green Central some trouble. I do believe that. But once again, home court advantage is very important in this game. This game is being played at the Ram Pen. And therefore, I got to take Green Central in this one. It's going to be a very close, very exciting game. I do believe that, though.
I definitely agree. I mean, South Granville has a lot of great players like Bobby Pettiford, Micah Owens. There's another guy, Waikese Allen, I believe. But I believe Green Central will be able to take this one. It will be pretty close. I'm going to say it's going to be about a 7-point game.
Yeah, I'm going to take GC. It's, like you said, it's hard to win in that round pin, man. Their fans, they bring them so much energy into that gym. I would hate to play in there, but I'm going to go with Green Central.
All right, and with that being said, that is the conclusion of our show. We want to thank
By the way,
Hold up.
Shonda Hines, look at my boys. I'm so proud of you both. Love you both. Junius and Graham, you guys are the best.
That's a proud mama right there, isn't it?
Yeah, she the one that started all this right here. Without her and our fathers, but mainly her, it wouldn't be possible. Like, both our fathers was in our life, but my mom and dad, they both introduced us to basketball, and she's been with us ever since we started bouncing. She makes time, and we still don't understand how she does it to this day. She'll make a game right now, work a full-time job, make sure that we have food to eat, everything, make sure that wherever we had AAU tournaments at, Greensboro, Charlotte, out of state, she was there. Sometimes we'd ride with some other players, but guess who's there? We never thought she'd be there, but she'll be there. She'll make it. She'll go to work, and she's on the roll. And then we just call her a superhero because we never knew. We still don't know to this day, like, how do you do it? Like, she's following our baby brother now. And
Tigger.
Right. And then, like, Dory have games, and he don't even know she's coming, but he looked behind her. There she is. And we still trying to figure out how she do these superwoman heroes, but that's our queen right there. And we love you too, Ma.
That's true love right there. It doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Yes, sir. Oh, no, one more thing. She didn't play about grades neither. We ain't had grades.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we ain't playing no basketball. We can be the leading scorer, leading assist, but if them rooms won't clean, grades won't good, nah, you ain't going nowhere.
That's how you do it right there.
For somebody who's known Shonda Hines for as long as I have, I could tell just from the jump, like, if y'all weren't right, it was not going to be a good time.
You know, it wasn't a good scene. You do not want to see her mad.
Well, we want to thank you guys so much for being on our show once again. Of course, our guests, Dory Hines and Curtis Hines, alongside me,
Junior Smith III.
Thank you, everybody, that's tuned in to this live podcast of the Floor Show Podcast. This has been the 11th edition of the show. I'm Graham Hill, and one last time, thank you to all of our viewers for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.